Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. The woman who received the longest federal sentence ever given for the unauthorized release of classified defense information has her story being told on Broadway, in her own words. Very specifically, it is the story of a little more than 1 hour in her life, when on June 3rd, 2017, FBI agents showed up at the 25-year-old's house with a warrant and accusations that she sent a news outlet classified info about Russian interference in the 2016 election. Her name is Reality Winner, and she is played by Emily Davis in the new Broadway show, Is This a Room? Davis is receiving raves for her portrayal of a smart yet naive young government linguist who is cornered by three agents at her home in Augusta, Georgia. The words we hear the actors say are verbatim from a chronological transcript of Winner's interrogation that day. It sounds something like this. Here's the moment Reality first encounters the FBI agents in her yard. And this audio is from the show's original pre-COVID run at the Vineyard Theater.
Do you live by yourself?
Yes.
Okay. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go into the house first to make sure it's safe. We have a search warrant, so we're going to. And what we'll do is we'll keep you out here until
Absolutely.
We do that. And once we secure it, then we'll kind of go from there, okay?
Of course.
Is your dog friendly?
Okay, so she does not like men.
Okay. That's a problem.
However, and she might come towards you, but she's not aggressive. She's never
okay.
bitten anybody. She's just got, you know, a really good growl going. She'll
okay.
probably just
okay.
hide under my desk.
Okay, do you have a leash or something
leash.
Where we could... Okay.
I can get her leashed up.
So what we might want to do is maybe let you go in there with
yes,
her.
Yes, I can do that.
Not to touch anything else,
you
not to do anything else, but get the dog and bring it out here.
Of course.
Am I cool? Because otherwise, if we're going to have a problem, we're not going to do that.
So. I understand.
Is This a Room is now on Broadway at the Lyceum Theater in what Variety calls a taut and pulse-prickling docudrama, and the New York Times said of the show that it is, quote, astonishingly emotional theater. Joining me now are Tina Satter, who conceived and directed the show. Hi, Tina.
Hi.
And actor Emily Davis, who plays Reality Winner. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
So, Tina, the story goes that you're reading New York Magazine and this article about Reality and her situation. What did you see in that article that made you think this is a potential theater piece?
First it was the pictures of Reality, and I read that article about 6 months after the day we staged, the day she was taken into custody, with, you know, June 3rd, 2017. So it was the pictures of her at first. I was like, oh, there was something about her eyes, and she looked so young, and, you know, there's pictures of her, like, holding one of her pink guns, and then there's pictures of her, like, in yoga outfits. It was just really a fascinating amalgamation that was also described in the article. But really, in that same reading, it was when I clicked on a link that took you to the transcript, that was when I was like, oh, there is something in this transcript. It looked like a play to me and felt like a play and this, like, thriller. And I was like, that's when I got the first artistic inkling that this could be something to do. And also knowing that Emily Davis, who I had worked with mm-hmm. for like 10 years at that point, had a specific skill and looked like Reality. Mm-hmm. So that's what sort of clicked in that very first half hour of stumbling upon that article and the transcript.
So you read this, you have this idea. What are your next moves?
Well, right then I forwarded it to Emily, and we still have that email. And I was like, do you know who she is? I think this could be a play and you could play her. And that was in December 2017. And then the first new immediate steps were Emily and then our actor, various actor friends with male energy, as we talked about it, would meet in our apartment to read the transcript over and over so I could figure out, is this a play? And that was the first step, like knowing Emily would be Reality. And then from there, pretty quickly, we were like, this is really something fascinating. And then we had a commission from the kitchen where it first premiered. Mm-hmm. And so then set the work of like developing it to go there in January 2019.
So, Emily, what did you think when presented with this idea that this script would be taken line from line, literally from your real life?
I was up, as always, with Tina and with the troupe, like, up for the challenge of the constraints that were given to us right then, which was you have, no money, a group of actors that are going to be really game to do this, and an amazingly generous institution like the kitchen that was giving us this time to sort of like show up and get, make something take shape. It felt there was definitely something very different about this material versus us kind of generating our own characters as we have done with Half Straddle for, you know, over a decade. And so the particular work and the sort of like insidious line and turning it, the actual transcript into a script that we could then as actors, like find the beats and the rhythms within was, I don't know. I just started paying attention to the nuts and bolts of it, the work of it, you know, so that we could be ready to open in a short amount of time at the kitchen. So,
Emily, what kind of research did you read about reality? And was there anything particularly you read that helps you create her, this version of her?
There wasn't much to read at all. I read what Tina sent me, the New York Magazine piece on her, and I was hooked, as Tina was, just fascinated. But I knew what part of Texas she was from very specifically, and I think like there wasn't a lot of I just had ideas based on the little things I knew about what about the region that this person was from and how she had spent those 25 years of her life. And I would say the most sort of researchy thing I did was go to Freer, Texas, and go to Alice, Texas, where she's from, just on a whim because I was down there visiting family anyways. And I just sort of went and sat in the place and could kind of confirm that the air was what I bodily felt it was down there and what I could sort of like start to work to embody.
My guests are the creator and director of Is This a Room? That's Tina Satter, and actor Emily Davis, who plays reality winner. So, Tina, what was your thought process about sticking so literally to the transcript, including the verbal tics, the stops, the starts, the overlaps? Why did you decide not to shape it and make it more, I guess, play-like? You really feel like you're eavesdropping.
Right. I mean, I think it was sort of all there. Like it's a play, a transcript, a play now that starts with like hi and then ends with like the time, you know what I mean? And had all these beats in it that were really exciting. And I was so taken, like, as a, you know, I'm often a playwright, by the language on the page. Like it felt like such a gift to have these stutters captured and the cough. And it just was such this rhythmic, exciting, rich text. And so the dream was like, can we do all of it? Like that was the challenge. And then there were definitely moments where I'm like, we may have to cut something. It's really hard. And it's the nature of an interrogation is cyclical. You know what I mean? They ask her questions, she gets out of it. Right. So there was so much to tend to, but we, you know, Emily is the one who said this. We eventually very quickly settled into almost treating it like a canonical text. Like this transcript was Shakespeare to us. How do we make this live on stage? Like, how do we make this have a heartbeat in front of other humans? And it just had sunk in with me and all the actors that it was possible, and that was sort of the richest and most honest thing we could do too, was to be like, this was the first word that was said that day, this was the last word, and we're going to show you and let you hear it here.
Emily, there's this really push-pull in your performance because reality is kind of naive. But she also speaks three languages, Pashto, Farsi, and Dari. She's worked in the field. She's been in the Air Force. How did you find that balance? It was just interesting to watch.
I mean, I think that my confusion around my own feelings keeps me on my toes in the performance of this. Mm-hmm. And that's that's the most honest thing I can think to say. It feels like a time where we're very much being asked to know what we stand for and stand on a certain side, and like kind of ambiguity around things is like discouraged. But I think that that's a really interesting place to sit. And I think that these questions have come up with the portrayal of the FBI agents as well, you know, like how do we make sure we're not making them villain? Like it's always more interesting to to find these fissures of complicated, contradictions within a person. And also personally speaking, being from Texas, it's like people have a lot of ideas and generalize about that part of the country. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a really exciting way to portray, or kind of push back against, what is normal, I guess, what is like the thought bubble around Texans typically. I feel a lot of pride having that honor to portray this person for that reason too.
Tina, some of the most powerful moments are the parts of the document that have been redacted. How did you come, it's visceral the way you've chosen to have the lights come down and the sound that happens. How did you think about handling it initially, and then how did it evolve?
Right. I mean, so the sort of first dramaturgical idea there was, what had it been like to read that transcript or to read any transcript when you get to these black boxes on the page? I mean, that act of reading that like that is actually very visceral and kind of dramatic, because something is literally being inherently withheld from you, right? So it implicitly becomes all these questions of who has the power, who can say what one can read or not read, right? And so it was sort of trying to dramatize that feeling of having read it and come to the black box redactions. And so, yeah, I mean, we wanted to try to honor all of those too. And we did various experiments of like putting in what was the known information, putting in like a more classic beep. And the thing that just really worked was the really dumb choice in the rehearsal room, which was to turn out the lights and have this kind of silence there. So the first time we got to tech, where you really spend a lot of time and you have all the genius designers there, that was the model we were building from, was like the lights out model. And then, of course, in a much more sophisticated way, really timing out those lights. And then we had this bank of sounds that Sanaa Yamada, the sound designer, had made just for the show in general. And we sort of started just this very, the very painstaking thing of pairing the sound, these light layers of sound with the blackouts or the pinkouts. The pinkouts were the lighting designer Thomas Dunn's idea. And it just becomes, the sort of weird magic of making something where the tapestry of that is slowly coming together, and that this is the poetics of this piece were starting to fall into place with those kind of light treatments for the redactions. And it did some sort of disembodying for like those of us sitting outside it. And it was a challenge for the actors that Emily could talk to too, of what it means to act through the lights going out like that. So that was how we came to what is in there now.
How is it, Emily? What is that like?
I think once we were supported by the tech of it and having this amazing design team, once it does transcend being in that room where the lights are going on and off, and you feel like an idiot and you don't know if what you're doing is supporting the choice that is being made. I mean, everything, it changes hugely once you get into a space where we can actually do it at that level. It feels like everything else in the show, which is highly choreographed and important to hit and to be in relation to those moments of darkness. Yeah.
We're talking about Is This a Room?, which is currently at the Lyceum Theater. I'm speaking with creator, director Tina Satter and actor Emily Davis, who plays the lead reality winner. So when I went to see the show, Tina, I looked up in line and I saw our mutual friend, Aaron Courtney. And
yes, Aaron Courtney. Yes.
So we went and had a beer after the show, and we were talking about the show. And she said she was at one point you were thinking of calling it the Reality Winner Show, but that kind of got scrapped. And
no, she helped with the title. Yes. Well, what I was calling it was what was stamped on the top of the actual transcript in large letters. It said Reality Winner verbatim transcription. And that is what I wanted to call it for a long time. And I think Emily and others were like, it's a little long. And then it was Aaron Courtney, who's been a teacher and mentor of mine and now is an incredible friend. Mm-hmm. We were at a residency at Berkeley Rep, Emily Sanaa and I, with Aaron. And she was like, I think the title that reflects the poetics of how you're starting to treat it more. And so, yeah, she was very seminal in that. And then it was me and Emily and some others like listing out phrases that stuck out to us from the play and how we came to Is This a Room? But yes, it did have a much longer title for a few months that the world never saw.
I do want to play that clip, and this one is actually from the kitchen residency of where the title "Is This a Room?" comes in. Emily, can you set this up a little bit?
Yes, this is right. Spoiler alert. This is
right before you kind of confess.
Yeah, basically, they've really cornered me to the point of I'm out of things to say beyond what they already know is true and what I know I have to say out loud. Yeah.
Let's take a listen to Is This a Room?
We need to figure this out. And if it was a mistake, let's deal with it.
Is this a room? Is that a room?
So how'd you get it out of the office?
Folded in half in my pantyhose.
Okay. And what'd you do with it?
Put it in an envelope and sent it to...
There are so many different things going on. By the end of this, you're thinking about how you feel about whistleblowing. How do you feel about the FBI? How do you feel about gender dynamics by the way it's staged and the way that the agents sort of circle her at certain points? I'm curious, you know, reality situation has changed since this started. She's not released, right, Tina? She's like in a, has the work, an ankle monitor bracelet.
Yeah, I mean, as her mom puts it, she is home but not free. So she still has a lot of legal restrictions on her. She is currently under home confinement with an ankle monitor. So she's still within the legal constraints.
Has anyone in her family, Tina, seen the show?
Her sister was with us on opening night, and her stepfather and mother have seen earlier iterations. But her sister, Brittany Winner, was with us at the Lyceum on the Broadway opening night.
Emily, what did she think?
What did Brittany think?
Yeah, what did she say to you?
We had a small, sweet, quiet moment downstairs amidst the hullabaloo, you know. It's the same, it's a sort of just little check-in.
Yeah.
She's incredible also. So I can't speak to how Brittany is feeling about it. I think the whole family is extremely excited that more people are getting to hear about reality because there was so little for so long about her.
The name of the show is This a Room? It is the Lyceum Theater. I've been speaking with its creative director, Tina Satter, and actor Emily Davis, who plays Reality Winner. Thank you for making time for us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.